Thank you, Joy. What a song. What a song for Thanksgiving time. Wow. We have so much to be thankful for. Good morning. And Joy was scheduled weeks before the word came to me that what I preach for today. And what a middle of the Thanksgiving season, and have a song like that to start, and then the words that the things that God has put on my heart to share with you today. This is the Thanksgiving season, the time of the year when we give thanks to God. Last week we had that amazing dinner, that wonderful dinner of a church-wide Thanksgiving dinner. And this week, on the 24th of November, we'll have the Thanksgiving, the official, for our country, the official Thanksgiving celebration. Many of you will have family and friends coming, or you'll go to them, or whatever, and have a special time together. Thanksgiving has its historical significance in the beginnings of our country, of America, and recognizing God's blessings upon the beginnings there. And for Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, it is an opportunity to give thanks for his love and grace extended to us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never sang that song before that we sang this morning, Grace. What a song. What a song. And I'm thankful for it. And is that better? Okay. We have so much to give thanks to God for his love and his grace extended to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, for his word, the Holy Bible, and for his church, the body of Christ, and for local churches like this one. I am so thankful I could have at the end of this sermon of just a personal testimony and how thankful I am for this place where we gather to worship, to pray, and hear and study the Word, the Holy Bible, and then to go out and witness it to the world. We sang about that this morning around us concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. With this Thanksgiving theme in mind, I want us to consider today the Apostle Paul. And just a little study that I developed for this little message today. It's amazing to me. The Apostle Paul, he was a Jew who became a believer in Jesus. He did many things. He was a servant. He was a witness. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. He was a missionary. He was a church planter. One of the great ministries of his life was church planting. He was a writer of 13 or 14 books of the New Testament, depending on how you look at the book of Hebrews. We don't know for certain. It doesn't say by the Apostle Paul, but I tend to believe, and I think a lot of scholars and all believe, that he wrote that one too. So the 14 books of the New Testament, arguably one of the greatest Christians, if not the greatest Christian outside of Jesus himself, that ever lived. And he died as a martyr for his faith. And today, I want to focus on the Apostle Paul, the church planter. And Paul wrote, again, 13 or 14 books of the New Testament. 9 of them were written to local churches, which he had a part in starting. He wrote the book, we know he wrote the book of Romans to the church at Rome, First and Second Corinthians to the church at Corinth. He wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, all to local churches. Local churches that at least started out like this one. Some of them may have got bigger, but he wrote these letters to these local churches. And through these letters, what was it that Paul gave thanks for to God in and about these local churches? What was Paul thankful for? He didn't have a Thanksgiving holiday to remember, but he wrote over and over again about giving thanks to God for various issues and various things about these local churches. And you know and I know they were all not great, wonderful churches. The church at Corinth was a big problem a lot of the times to Paul. And other churches suffered greatly. But Paul was gave thanks to about these churches. And if we know these things, what Paul wrote under the inspiration of God, it will help us to better understand what the local church is all about. What a church like this is all about. And what is our part in it to grow in gratitude and participation in a local church like this one. I want us to think about that today. And I want to have a word of prayer. Let's ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the message and song from the singers up front here, for the song that Joy brought to us, and Lord, for this whole Thanksgiving season. We ask your blessing as we look at these matters today concerning the Apostle Paul. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In looking at these things, I want to demonstrate that we have much to give thanks to God for when we are privileged to be part of a New Testament local church. We can know more about these things, this giving thanks for the local church, as we observe what it was that the Apostle Paul gave thanks for when to God concerning the local churches that he planted during his lifetime. Think about it. So all we're going to do is just look at some things, some thoughts that Paul expressed and are written forth in the New Testament about his local churches. Guess what? Every single one of them can apply to a local church today like this one. So let's look at that. Paul planted several. The title is of the Apostle Paul's Thanksgivings for the local churches. His Thanksgivings. And the message concerns the fact that Paul planted at least seven local churches that we talked about just now, with the help of others, of course, but he was instrumental. And we think of the church at Rome, at Corinth, at Galatia, at Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica. Today those areas would be called Turkey, Greece, Italy, Macedonia, over there in that part of the world. Paul thanked God for the blessings that God had bestowed upon these churches. And what is it, what did Paul give thanks for concerning these churches? And there's a number of things. First of all, I'll read a few verses and then I'll get you to turn. You can turn, if you got your Bible, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1, the passage that Josh read to us earlier. But I'll just read a couple of verses here to give you the idea of what I'm talking about. He thanked God for the proclamation of the faith in these churches. The proclamation of the faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 1:8, he said, first I thank my God. There's the thanksgiving. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Rome was the center of the Roman Empire, and believers there went out all over the known world at that time. Paul said, I'm thankful for that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul said, again, concerning the proclamation of the faith, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have toward all the saints. Thankful for that, Paul said. In 1 Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1, we give thanks to God. There it is, thanksgiving. Thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Paul said, I'm thankful about that church at Thessalonica. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 1, the passage that Josh read earlier. Ephesians chapter 1. He begins at verse 15. He says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love you have unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for that you, making mention of you in my prayers. And he goes on to explain. I'm not going to read that whole passage again because Josh read it to us. But he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The church at Ephesus, you know, Ephesus was one of the largest cities that Paul ever ministered in. It was a center of the, had a huge temple, had pagan temple there, the temple of Diana or Artemis, and was a center of this goddess worship. And Paul planted a church there, right in the shadow of that big temple. And the word of God went forth from that place. Now, so, he ceased not to give thanks. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, Ephesians, that have come to know Jesus and proclaim your faith. Now, first item, he thanked God for the proclamation of the faith through the churches. And one of the reasons that we exist here today is to be a place to proclaim this faith through this Sandhills area. And Paul was thankful for that. Second thing, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're a page turner and you like to follow along with me, otherwise you can just listen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, church at Corinth. Grace be unto you and peace. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Understand the substance of that verse when he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And Corinth was one of the biggest headaches that Paul ever had. Some writers have said it was like the Las Vegas of that part of the world, the Greek area of Corinth. And yet Paul says here, I thank my God always on your behalf. And what does he say? That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 9 will stop. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is absolutely true. We had a chance to do a little sermon on that little statement passage here. That was absolutely true, even though a lot of times they were sinful people and they did strange things. But there was saved people in the midst of all that in the church at Corinth. And Paul gave thanks for the church at Corinth. Now, let's look over. Let's see, before we turn, notice. Just in verse 4 there, he said, for he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. Regardless of their walk with him, those that were saved in Corinth, this is absolutely true. And Paul gave thanks to that. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. And one of the hallmarks or the identifying marks of a New Testament church is that the people that make up the central part of that church, there's always visitors coming and all, but the central are saved people. And Paul gave thanks for that. Now, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Another church, Thessalonica. This Thessalonica was over in Greece, west of Philippi and so forth, up in the northern part of Greece, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Here it comes. Thanksgiving. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that you endure. They had a struggle in Thessalonica, but the believers were faithful. This is a manifest token. A manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. They suffered there. And Paul gave thanks to God for their faithfulness in the midst of that suffering. See it as a righteous thing with God, verse 6, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And we'll stop at verse 10. When he shall come in to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now that hasn't happened yet. I think that has something to do with the rapture of the church 2,000 plus amount of years later. But Paul was thankful for the Thessalonian church that persevered in the middle of the struggle that they had in those days. And so he is thankful that God's grace was bestowed on the church at Corinth, on the church at Thessalonica. Now, the third thing that he was thankful for, he was thankful for the acceptance of the word preached. Look more in 1 Thessalonians. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Same book we're just in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now that's, we were reading 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. One verse. For this cause also thank we. Apostle Paul writing, he's thankful about something. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. Paul was thankful for their acceptance of the word that he proclaimed to them. That's important. And all of us know. Maybe we sat there at one time in a church like this. Well, here pastors that preach the word of God, and you people here have been blessed with some pastors that preach the word of God. And yet, well, that's all right, but I don't know about that. I don't know if I believe that or not. Do we accept what is preached to us from the word? And Paul was thankful that in the church at Thessalonica, that he was thankful that his word was accepted. And because it is true, and because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, they became saved. They believed, they became saved. And they were a part of this church at Thessalonica that Paul gave thanks for. Now, that's three things. Paul was thankful for the proclamation of faith in those churches, for grace bestowed in those churches, for acceptance of the word preached. The fourth thing, well, I want you to look over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter And verse 3. Paul was thankful for fellowship in the gospel's progress. As he started in Philippi, he spoke to some ladies by the side of the river, and one thing led to another, you know, and he developed this little church in Philippi. In chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Why did he thank God? I thank my God among every remembrance of you, always in every prayer, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is right for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. Paul was thankful for the fellowship in the gospel. Aren't you thankful? In a church, you can come to a church where you have fellowship with men and women and different generations and all of that, but that is basically tied together by our fellowship in the gospel. And this church has been around, I don't know, somebody told me from like the 1950s or 60s onward to now, and there's been many pastors and generations of people and so forth. But we have fellowship in the gospel's progress. And it will progress more and more in this world until finally Jesus comes in. So Paul was thankful for that. Now, what else was he thankful for? What were Paul's thanksgivings? Look, we're here at around Philippians. Go over now to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul was thankful for growth in grace, in faith, in love for each other. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace, and from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God, there's that thanks again, thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glorify in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that you endure. Paul was thankful for growth in grace. Aren't you? That we can grow from the very first day that we got saved. Can you remember the first day you got saved? You didn't know very much. I can remember very, very specifically the first day I got saved. I don't know much at all, but I got saved. And Paul is thankful for growth in grace, in faith, in love for each other. And we can be thankful for that too. We're thankful that in this church you have gray-haired people in this church, you have younger people in this church. And over the years, the growth in grace and faith and love for each other. What a blessing. And Paul is thankful for that. What else is he thankful for? Look at Colossians chapter 1. I have 7 of these. This is number 6. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 9. And the song, the verse that we are especially targeting here is verse 12. We're going to read verse 9 to verse 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Up to there, he is talking about things that he is encouraged about as he considers this church a Colossae. But look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Here's the thanksgiving again. Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You realize, and Paul this describes you today, if you are a believer, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul was thankful for spiritual blessings. Are you? Am I? Are we? Thankful for spiritual blessings. Sometimes physical blessings go up and down, and we tremble a bit about provisions or lack thereof and all that kind of stuff. But are we thankful? Are we thankful for spiritual blessings, which are ours in Christ Jesus? We sing about them. We hear about them in the sermons and so forth. We hear about what Jesus does in our life and so forth. Are we thankful for that? And this thanksgiving season. One more. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to begin at verse 7 and read through verse 15. And in this passage, three different times, Paul talks about it. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We took up an offering this morning. We have the matter of giving. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things. May abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, and minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Remember a couple of things. First of all, again, this is 2 Corinthians. This is the Corinthian church that had all the problems. But Paul is writing this, and then he says, he gets to verse 11. I want you to watch verse 11, verse 12, and verse 15. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. The church at Corinth, with all of the rumbles and problems and things that went on there, it says, Paul thanked them, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. He was thankful for what God was doing in that place. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Said it again for Corinth. Verse 11, While by the proving of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution among them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you who long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. And here comes the last verse. You look at it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul thought
God, the church at Corinth was an unspeakable gift of God.
Probably put some gray hairs in Paul's head. And he had problems in the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He had problems, and they had all kinds of strange ideas and all that.
Corinth is the only biblical place in the whole world that I ever put my feet, because the Navy put me into Athens, and I had a day off, and we got on a bus and went over to Corinth. It's just a bunch of ruins and two columns sticking up. It's not a town there, in there anymore. But it was then, and it was a wild and woolly town. But Paul gave thanks. He gave thanks for the liberty in giving of the Corinthian church. So they had a part in his overall ministry over the Middle Eastern world that he was in during his life. So, think about this. Paul gave thanks, just in a review, Paul gave thanks for proclamation of the faith in local churches. Paul gave thanks for grace bestowed by God in all kinds of churches, little ones, bigger ones, some that were really precious and loved God, and others that were like Corinth, that were a different story. He gave thanks for acceptance of the word preached, that when he or other of his men were there to speak the word of God, at least some of the people accepted. He gave thanks for the fellowship in the gospel, in the gospel's progress. It started out as little churches, and they grew. This church was probably just a handful of people one time. Some people have explained to me how it was just a little church here, and then they extended the church and made it bigger and all that sort of thing. There was growth, and Paul was thankful for that. That fellowship in the gospel's progress. He was thankful for growth in grace. He sang a song today about grace. Wow, what a song. And the growing awareness of that growth in grace, of God's grace, faith, love for each other. It's just so amazing. And Paul was thankful for that. He was thankful for spiritual blessing in a church like Colossae. He was thankful for liberality and giving from a place like Corinth. Wow. Some words of conclusion in this Thanksgiving season. The Apostle Paul's thanksgiving for the local churches. As we can see, Paul gave thanks for the many blessings bestowed by God on the churches he had that he had a part in starting. Many of these thanksgivings are recorded for us. A number of them, at least seven different areas that talk about thanksgiving recorded in the New Testament. What about us, especially in this season of Thanksgiving? Can we, do we give thanks for our church here? Do we? We're in the middle of things here. Pastor Bob's gone, and we're seeking another pastor, and we're visiting speakers, and I'm thankful for the visiting speakers that we have. And do we give thanks? Can we, do we give thanks for our church here? For other gospel preaching churches that we know about? I think every one of us here, because of the history of your life and because of your extended families and all, you know some churches around that are sound gospel preaching churches. We talk a lot about all the problems and all the churches getting crazy and doing other things. But do we give thanks for those churches we know where the word of God is going to open? How can we personally, practically give thanks in our own church for the pleasant point? I want you to think about it. And turn for the last verse, verse to look at. We're in 2 Corinthians. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody's got your Bible. I want you to open. I want you to see this verse to close this little message up. Again, it's an illustration of Paul's thanksgiving. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. last few verses of that amazing long chapter. Paul says, but thanks be to God. There it is again. Paul's thanksgiving. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. What gave us the victory? Sang that song today about grace. Jesus died. Thank the Lord for the cross and all of that. We sang those songs this morning. Thanks be to God for who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah, lots to be thankful for. Paul, over and over and over again, it's amazing to me. It's the first time I've done this little study, I got born with this thing. And how many times Paul gave thanks for various aspects in the sound churches. And again, these two verses. This is 1 Corinthians. That amazing little church there. I don't know how big it was, a little in those days, but it was in a very wild and holy place. And he gave thanks. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a story. Now I just want you to know, this is going to close this up with a word of personal testimony. Most of you that know us here, when I came down here at the end of 2012. End of this year will be 7 years that we've come here. And as I was reflecting on what Paul said about these different churches, I want you to know what a thanksgiving to God goes up from the hearts of Joan and I over this place. This is not the biggest church in Nebraska. This is not the oldest church in Nebraska. And this is a church right now that doesn't have a pastor. Needs a pastor. But the thing is that it's a church that reflected what Paul gave as marks of thankfulness in these various churches that he started, had a part of starting. And I'm thankful. This is not just a history lesson of what this great apostle thought about those churches. It is living, breathing truth from believers that applies to all generations, including us, that the local church is one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave us. You understand that Jesus said one thing he was going to do in this world until he came again. You can study eschatology, at least teach us something, ecclesiology and eschatology. He said one thing that he was going to do. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he didn't say anything else. Now there's other areas of ministry and ministering to people in need and missions, various missions, the things you have. Now we have these closed mission things where you go, you don't know what they're doing over there because of all the persecution and everything, all kinds of things. But nevertheless, Jesus said, I will build my church. What's plan B? There is no plan B. This is the local church is his primary. And from the beginning, one of his chief lieutenants, if we can say that, of church planning was Paul. This Jew that hated Christians until Jesus met him one day. And now, over 2,000 years later, here we are. We're looking for the second coming of Jesus. We're looking for the rapture and the second coming of Jesus and all that. What about the days until this happens? Because I believe it could happen at any time. I don't know. But the thing is, it's sooner rather than later. And as we think about this Thanksgiving season, I want to say personally, to you, my brothers and my sisters, I'm thankful that there's a church like this. And I trust that as you have your time for Thanksgiving with your family and your friends, you'll think about some of these things that Paul taught me. And either together with them, if that's possible, sometimes it's not always possible, but together with them, or else just in the privacy of your own prayer life, your own family, give thanks to God. Thanks to God. Like the Apostle Paul. Give thanks to God. We're not Apostle Paul, but he, with all of his abilities and all that he put into those churches, he talked around at least 7 different passages where he said, thank my God. I thank my God. I thank my God. Let's be thankful for that today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your amazing grace to us in so many ways, and we're thankful especially today for the local church and for the fellowship and the teaching and preaching and experience that we can have week by week and year by year, 7 days a week, and a lot of times in the life of a local church, biblical local church. We're thankful for this place. We ask your blessing on it. You know, we're praying for a new pastor. And we pray in your time you'll provide that person. And we give you thanks that we can have that hope. We have the living God, the living Jesus, and we have the history of the church. And we know it's been up and down and a lot of strange things have happened for 2,000 years, but nevertheless, it's still here. And we're looking forward and ask that we may be found faithful in our involvement and in our prayers and in our giving and all the rest for the local church that we are a part of. We might echo the words of the Apostle Paul in his thanksgivings. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.